people gathered in their masses to buy TP for their asses. Evil cramps that spell destruction. Diarrhea in production. Drop those drawers and spread those buttocks. Crap the floor, who gives a fuck? What's up, everybody? And with that, that goes out to Big Sal, who wanted to know my favorite WWE NXT favorite War Games moment of all time. It's got to be that, right? We're in the middle of the pandemic. Toilet paper's at a shortage. Come on, man. That's my favorite War Games moment of all time. You know, I'm not a very good singer, if you haven't figured that out. But I am a poet, in case you didn't know it. How's it going, everyone? It is, what, November 7th? Yeah, 2022. This is your WWE Raw post show. I am Don Tony, as always. Thank you for joining me this evening. If you enjoy this show, take a moment, smash that thumbs up, let other people know about the channel. Much love, as always. I got to be honest with you. I think this is two very flat episodes of Monday Night Raw in a row. It does have its good points, but I think it fell flat. I don't know if it was because of the Wilkes-Barre, Mohegan Sun Arena crowd tonight. They were awful at times. Go back and watch the opening segment with the New Day and the Usos, and that crowd didn't want to hear about history. They didn't want to hear about emotional, you know, how you came up and the battles you went through. They were kind of dead at times. I mean, really dead at times tonight. But you know what? I was looking at the matches in general. I mean, look at that card from top to bottom. You know, the opening match seemed a little hot. The closing match was just an absolute mess. And in between, there was a lot of, I don't know, like, you know, I wasn't feeling it tonight. Wasn't feeling it. Now, we did have a couple of things go down. First of all, Austin Theory, there goes all that speculation of when he was going to cash in the briefcase. Could it happen in NXT? Could it happen at Mania? Could it happen here? I tell you this much, even though what went down was just an absolute mess, I do like the logic of Austin Theory wanting to cash in on Seth Rollins after what happened, you know, very recently in their match. Austin Theory, immature, little ego hurt, you know, losing to Seth Rollins, want to get a little revenge. You know, you ask yourself, you could cash, it's just logic, storyline purposes, you could cash in on a heavyweight champion. You could do it at WrestleMania. You know, so why would you do it on a Monday Night Raw against Seth Rollins? So Austin Theory cashes in because he fucked with Lashley a little bit. Lashley, in the end, chokes him out, and Seth Rollins ultimately beats Austin Theory. We also had something else happen tonight. And, you know, look, I feel bad for her. It would have gone down in infamy if it would have been done the right way. And listen, if anyone out there that thinks that she intentionally missed, if you know what I'm talking about, look at WWE social media. They are writing it as if she shoots, she scores. That was not supposed to be a miss. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, tonight on Raw, Nikki Cross took on Dana Brooke for the WWE 24/7 title. No disrespect against the referee. Why is the fucking referee breaking holds and doing all it? It's a 24/7 title match. You're allowed to break the rules. I thought the match itself sucked. Dana Brooke, with all due respect, still gets zero reaction despite the wedding, the divorce, the teasing of this, the skits of this, all of the Christmas stuff with Tozawa and just, you know, or R-Truth and whoever else. Tabina. It was just a mess. It was an absolute mess. So Dana Brooke loses the 24/7 championship in very uneventful fashion. Now suddenly, Nikki Cross is acting like she's on Xanax. You know, she's stoic. She don't know what the fuck is going on. Bayley like puts the title on the show, like, oh, you, by the way, you won this tonight. And Nikki Cross has no reaction whatsoever. So we get a little backstage. You know, this deserves. Ooh, no, wrong. That's better. Yeah, that deserves me to go in the corner. I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, she's walking in the back, very stoic, you know, and it's just they're focused on her. Can you guess what happens next? You had one job. You had one job. One job. Unbelievable. She goes to drop the toilet. And listen, this was not a Medusa-type garbage pail. You know, like one of those garbage pails that are like, I don't know, maybe like this big. You know, this is Medusa back in the mid-90s. You know, she didn't even look Medusa. She's like this. She could have went like this. She could have went like this. My God, you could have had a 1,200-pound blimp with a snatch bigger than that. And that's how the size of that garbage pail. That's one of those commercial garbage pails that you have like at a baseball stadium when you have a whole section that's going to fill up their empty wrappers. And she drops it on the fucking floor. You know what? In hindsight, I personally think that was perfect because that just represents what this 24/7 title has been, what it turned out to be. It was the Benny Hill show, you know, just running around the arenas. I mean, I understand, you know, they did it for a little publicity as well outside of pro wrestling. But honestly, in hindsight, Nikki Cross going to toss it in the trash, misses and drops it on the floor. I think that's the perfect representation of how the 24/7 title should have ended. You know, not in a, you know, very smooth way. Man, good. 24/7 title is history. Now, we did get one very cool moment tonight. We did have another return in the world of pro wrestling. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. Maybe 48 hours too late. We had the storyline, Rhea Ripley getting involved too much for the OC, having problems with Judgment Day. And right before Crown Jewel, we need to neutralize Rhea. We need to do something about it. So storyline, everybody and their mother, you're traveling 9,500 miles away, and I know I'm exaggerating, going to Saudi Arabia, and you don't go with anything to neutralize Rhea Ripley. I mean, at minimum, buy that shitty fucking mace that Scarlett bought while she's in Saudi Arabia. They have nobody there. So what happens? Rhea Ripley interferes again. The OC loses. The promo that they cut last week that they needed to do something about Rhea Ripley, that promo should have never been cut last week on Raw. They should have said nothing. Let it happen at Saudi Arabia, and then you could have in the back at Crown Jewel a backstage interview. After the show is over, we need to do something about Rhea Ripley. So tonight, how this all went down, Seth Rollins was supposed to have an open challenge at the beginning of hour number two. So Seth Rollins comes out there. He's waiting for his opponent for the United States Championship. And here comes the Judgment Day. Okay, interesting. We've talked about how WWE is positioning Seth Rollins to a babyface. So you wonder what member of Judgment Day is going to take on Seth Rollins. First, we thought it was going to be Damian Priest. Then Finn Balor enters the ring, and Finn Balor says, several years ago, you cost me that a championship. Tonight, I'm going to cost you a championship. And before the match goes down, here comes the OC, Gallows, Anderson, and AJ Styles, and they immediately address Rhea Ripley. And they have a new edition of the OC. And then, lo and behold, Rhea is attacked. It's revealed to be Mia Yim. Mia Yim is now a member of the OC. Let me tell you something. Mia Yim, I like it. I like it. Yes, she's with another faction. You know, we remember Retribution. But Mia Yim could fucking wrestle her ass off. So if this is going to lead to a feud with Mia Yim and Rhea Ripley, I'm buying in. I'm definitely buying in. And now we'll probably see some four-on-four matches go down. That's a possibility. Now, you know, keep Rhea Ripley and Mia Yim on your minds a little bit. Keep both of those women in the back of your mind, because we definitely have to talk about Survivor Series today. And I definitely want to incorporate a little bit of Sasha Banks teasing as well. But there is something I want to show you that might make you think twice about Sasha Banks possibly returning at Survivor Series. But, you know, we'll get into a few other things as well. Now, a couple of things right off the bat. Yesterday when we did the sit down, we touched on a little bit of Logan Paul and his knee injury. I have three injury updates for you. One, you could kind of figure out yourself today if you watched Raw, but I'm going to give you a little bit of sausage anyway. First off, Logan Paul, he had tests scheduled, I believe, for tomorrow. Could have happened today, but I heard it might be for tomorrow. And they're going to, you know, figure out what to do about his knee. They believe it's a torn meniscus. They believe it's a torn MCL. And as Logan Paul said, it could also possibly be a torn ACL. If that's the case, that guy's out of action, what, 9 months? I mean, look, the guy is very athletic, so he definitely could return from this. But that's obviously a big blow, because now WrestleMania is out of the question. Now any type of momentum for Logan Paul is really put on hold. And another thing people need to realize, you know, WWE definitely wants that celebrity influence, especially at Mania. And I guarantee you Logan Paul would have had a match at Mania, no question. So now with Logan Paul on the shelf, what celebrity is going to fill in his shoes? You know, and listen, I know WWE has been interested in a few people in the hip-hop world, a few people in the basketball world, but understand, you can't just, you know, DM someone and then bring them to the performance center and 2 months later, they're trained. There's a big, deeper process, and I know what some of you are going to say right away. Oh, maybe Bad Bunny can return and do something. That's possible. It absolutely is. But Logan Paul, you know, a lot of people are not thinking about it. That leaves a big void for WrestleMania, because they do want celebrity, some celebrity influence inside that ring, and Logan Paul probably would have been the one to do it. I don't think Jake Paul should replace Logan Paul. Jake Paul doesn't have that personality Logan Paul does. And here's another thing, too. You know, Jake Paul, actually, Logan Paul, I think we all agree, he's definitely better suited as a heel. He just rubs people the wrong way. But at least he looks like a pro wrestler. He's got a look. He's got a style. He's, you know, he's got a big set as well. Jake Paul, you know, I don't know why. I'm going to say something that people are going to say, oh, my God, that's so outdated and stupid. Anybody remember the Rotten Brothers, Ian and Axel Rotten? You know, back in the mid-90s, they were what, Bad Breed? No. Were they Bad Breed? I don't know. But back in the mid-90s, you know, Axel Rotten was up and coming. You know, Ian Rotten was more like really deep into hardcore shit, doing all the glass stuff and everything. But, you know, everybody was buying in on Axel Rotten. Axel Rotten, God rest his soul, you know, he had a look about him. You know, he wasn't always, and in his latter years, a lot of people talked about his weight. But Axel Rotten, as a young guy, you know, he actually was very aesthetically good to look at, you know, pleasing to look at. Ian Rotten, though, Ian Rotten just had that look like, I mean, I'm not saying he's not a tough son of a bitch. Jake Paul just does not look like a pro wrestler to me. Jake Paul looks like somebody you just want to smack across the head in the bar. And I know Jake Paul could beat the fuck out of me. I just don't think Jake Paul, you know, plus he's not extremely charismatic that I think could equate to pro wrestling. Hey, maybe they can do something with him. I just don't know how that plays out in the world of pro wrestling. So, So that's the deal with Jake Paul. Now, best wishes go out to Natalya. If you saw the match on SmackDown, you know, why you would not clean your fingers? I know why, because you want to take pictures and put it on social media, you know, for the add that dramatic effect. I do the same thing, so I can't blame Natty. But she had a dislocated nose. Dislocated nose, everyone. That is rough shit, man. So they actually were able to, you know, put it back in place. She's going to be on the shelf for a good 2 months, I would say. But she is feeling better, and we definitely send our best wishes out to Natalya. I don't care what some of you in the chat room say about her wrestling ability. We're not talking about wrestling ability right now. We're talking about somebody who suffered a displaced nose, and that is some really rough shit. Not to mention that it makes it very, 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 very difficult to breathe. I know someone that had that happen playing football. And not fun, not a fun thing. Now, good news is Jey Uso. Now, I'm not going to put it all out there because I'm sure reports are going to put it out there. But apparently the concern about Jey Uso's wrist is nowhere near as severe as what they originally thought. Someone that I DM'd this morning got back to me a couple of hours ago and said that it's a hairline fracture in part of his hand. But, you know, we don't know for 100% certain. But what we do know is that Jey Uso's not going to miss any in-ring time. So all of these ideas, oh, do Freebird, put Sammy in there, make Sammy cause them to lose. No, no. Even though that sounds like a good idea, we want Sammy and Kevin Owens to ultimately win those belts. If Sammy costs the Usos the championships down the line, and let's also be honest, this is record history. This is the record books. They are going to go down as the longest reigning tag team champions in history for WWE. There's been no Freebird rule with the Usos. For 15 years, it's been Jimmy and Jey Uso. You're going to tell me that right when they break the record, you're going to start doing Freebird stuff? That's just asinine and stupid. I know storyline, it sounds entertaining, but you don't do that. If you do Freebird rules, you do it throughout their career. You don't do it after all this time and decide you're going to do Freebird rules. So that's not even happening. And the good thing is we don't have to worry about that. So Jey Uso, you know, it's not as severe as people were worried about. By the way, just something random, you know, there was some really, really cool pictures coming out of Crown Jewel, and I was checking this one out in particular. Here's another one that I thought was very, very cool to see. But, you know, I don't know if you remember the frog splash, because we got a kick out of it at Crown Jewel watching it. Logan Paul climbed the top rope, the turnbuckle, and he had a phone in his hand doing a little bit of Austin Theory, so to speak, and he's doing a selfie, and he's about to do a frog splash onto Roman Reigns, putting him through the announcer's table. Well, Logan Paul was recording at the time. Logan Paul actually posted the footage of his frog splash. I'm going to share with you if you haven't seen it already. Too bad Mick Foley couldn't do a selfie. Could you imagine if Mick Foley would have been top of the Hell in the Cell and would have done that? You know, cell phones were much different at that time. So that's a pretty cool move. I thought that was pretty damn cool. So I just figured I'd share with you. So I have a couple of injury updates for you right there. By the way, Omos, not at Raw tonight. Yes, we will definitely talk about Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman, after everything that has happened in the last 24 hours, the end result was that he tweeted, deleted, and retreated. We will talk about that in a few moments. Omos was not at Raw tonight. And the reason why Omos was not at Raw was, and I'm going to share with you the footage because it is public information that everybody can enjoy. Omas is actually with family right now, and I think this is pretty fucking cool. Gives you a little side of Omas that you don't normally see. He's got a lot of family in Nigeria, and apparently he has not seen a lot of that family since for 14 years. That's 2008, everyone. Think about how much has changed in 2008, since 2008. So he had the opportunity to go to Nigeria and spend time with his family. Cameras were there for a little bit. Here's about 2 minutes that I think you'll appreciate. Pretty cool shit. Oh, by the way, courtesy of TMZ Sports, and listen to the crowd reaction in that house when he entered the room. That's cool, man. That is awesome. That's what it's all about, everyone. Come on, if you can't put, that doesn't put a smile on your face, you really, go marry Brad Shepherd.
Oh, you should have. He did it, man. Watch it.
Okay, so that's my husband. That we
work. All right. I think we could take it on. I like shit like that, man. Sorry. You know, I know for a lot of shows out there, they have to, you know, they can't show things like that. No, we got to just shit on people all the time. That was a cool moment. I thought that was very cool. Talk about a tale of two giants the last 48 hours. Braun Strowman just, you know, he's now retreating. Let's give you kind of in order what went down. And I wanted to see how it played out, you know, and trust me, WWE is not happy with what Braun Strowman did. Braun Strowman obviously has a lot of haters online. There's a lot of people that shitted on Braun Strowman's return. There's a lot of people that just don't like him because of his views, because he hunts. There's a lot of reasons why people don't like Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman and Omos had a pretty damn good match at Crown Jewel. It exceeded expectations, no question. So, you know, on the heels of Crown Jewel, I guess this was a little bit of a revenge for Braun Strowman, you know, for the haters online. But instead of just leaving the match alone and just letting people praise it, you know, sometimes that's the best medicine, you know, for these haters. But no, he decided to go on social media. And he started with a series of tweets. Then he started getting into it with people on social media. This pissed off a lot of wrestlers. In fact, Mustafa Ali even wrote a little line on Twitter. You know, could someone teach me how to get fired? And that was a shot at Braun Strowman. I heard Dax Harwood had a lot of shit to say about Braun. Braun, the first tweet he wrote, he said, "Holy hell, Omos, can you believe we got 47 stars and reminded the people that nobody cares about these floppy floppers, giants and monsters greater than Flippy Flipper bag your groceries at Kroger." All right. Now, yeah, look, of course that's going to trigger a negative reaction from haters out there. They already hate you. But you see, Omos didn't like it. Omos didn't respond. Omos was busy going back to Nigeria, seeing family as he'd seen in 14 years. So now he starts going back and forth with people online and basically starts talking about, you know, that they could be the, you know, on the main card in Saudi Arabia. And he says, then I guess somebody that was supporting him, he says, you get it. The weird subculture of you got to do flips and kill yourselves, even though you want to do it for free without any money to support what you have to go through, that broke-ass, loudmouth internet wrestling community, in the words of DX, could suck it sideways. So he's not making many friends on social media. He says he didn't shit on the indies. He shits on lazy people that want other people to pay their bills instead of going out and hustling what they can do to survive. That's what he is. And he just keeps going on. And he's going back and forth with people. And then he finishes up all of his tweets with, all right, I'm going to sleep on this flight. Just let me remind you that I am the greatest big man there's ever been, there ever is, and there ever will be. If you at me, you prove my point. Good night to all my loyal friends. And for the rest, I don't know. He just wrote a whole bunch of stuff. So now, you know, like I said, he's pissing off a lot of people in pro wrestling. Mustafa Ali took a shot. A few people took a shot. So Braun Strowman then deletes everything. All of his tweets he deleted. But he did write something in closing. Braun Strowman said, yo, yo, all my brothers and sisters in the locker room, no matter where you came from, I have mad respect. We have all worked very hard to be where we are. And all are here for a reason. Take a joke, internet wrestling community. Y'all come at me nonstop, and the second I fire back, you all melt. That's his response. So he apparently was joking. I don't think he was joking. Look, I could understand how much it pisses him off to get himself in even better shape than he ever has been. Has done a decent job. The crowd is popping for him. He's doing everything that he could possibly do right. And he has a great match at Crown Jewel, and people are still shitting on it. A lot of people shit on that match. Just go do a search. You know, you just come out of it, and you know you did better than what a lot of people expected, and people still were shitting all over it. So, you know, I can understand why he's upset, but he's in WWE now. He's making big bucks. He's working there with his girlfriend. He's got a push. I wouldn't have been surprised if he was on the team for Survivor Series. You know, a lot of people are wondering who are going to face the Bloodline at Survivor Series. His name, I could probably guarantee, was thrown around. Now that's probably out the door. You know, so look, he deleted the tweets, which is a good thing. It was only out there for 24 hours. But, you know, no matter what, you can't win with the trolls. You can't win with the haters. There's nothing that you could say or do that's going to suddenly win yourself over to them. You know, some haters just want to be, you know, get attention. You know, because you see it sometimes. Someone will throw real mad hate on a wrestler. The wrestler will respond. And then the wrestler would be like, you know, saying something. And then the fan will be like, oh, you know, nothing personal. You know, it's just, I just don't like this. You know, they were doing that towards Jade Cargill and some others. You know, they talk shit about her and they talk some things. And then she replies back and gets a little nasty. And then because that person got attacked, I'll give you a great example of it. Peter Avalon. Go, I know a lot of you don't pay attention to social media. Go look at his social media from a week ago and look at the back and forth he got into with one fan about this whole thing that went down with Jade Cargill and Britt Baker and JD and a few others out there in the wrestling world. And this guy goes at Peter Avalon originally. Peter Avalon gives an intelligent answer back. Guy comes back with, you know, a little bit more jabs. And then he goes, Peter Avalon responds like two times. And then at the end, this guy's like, you know, no, nothing, no, nothing personal, bro. You know, and the guy's acting like he's his friend. You know, some people just want their attention, and then they just say, oh, no, it's not about the person. It's about, you know, just people backtrack. So, but Braun Strowman's got to understand he ain't going to win this argument with haters and trolls. He's got to just let them go as much as possible. So, all right. So moving right along. I think we're getting through tonight's show a little bit. We have a couple other tidbits. There's a new Vince McMahon sighting. I'm going to share you a funny laugh that I had earlier today. because when I saw the picture, it immediately reminded me of someone, and I'm going to share with you in a few minutes. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about Raw tonight. You know, if you look at the matches up and down, not a very strong card, just being honest with you in my opinion. The card opens up, Raw opens up tonight with Solo Sikoa and the Usos. No Sami Zayn. Crowd is chanting for Sammy, but he is not there. It's not going to come out later on. The Usos talking about how they're going to make history on Friday, because don't forget, on Friday, the big match is going down for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. The Usos defending against the New Day. If they can survive Friday night, they will be the longest reigning tag team champions of WWE of all time. So it's a big deal. It's history. You know, a couple of years ago, remember when WWE, in my opinion, foolishly chose the New Day as the greatest tag team of all time? Even though there's three, you know, because remember, there's three. Still, it thought it was stupid, and then they were talking about factions and everything like that. One thing you will say is that when the New Day was ranked number one, no matter where you put Usos, the Usos in that top ten at that time, it really felt like the New Day was here, the Usos were here. You know, not that far off. I don't want anybody to think they're all the way down. They're not that far off, but it did feel like the New Day were just leaps and bounds above the Usos. Now, with the Usos going to break that record, it does feel very even. Very even. And, you know, this obviously was done by design. So this is a big deal of what's going down on Friday. The Usos tonight show a little respect for New Day and what they've accomplished. New Day then comes out, interrupts the Usos in the ring. And, you know, they're showing a little bit more props to the New Day. But then Jimmy gets a little wise with the New Day and says it must feel good to be the second best tag team in WWE history. Xavier Woods first gets on the mic. And he says, you know, don't forget, we still have that record right now. And Friday, it could end up being back with the New Day. They also, Xavier, this was an interesting take after all this time. Xavier takes a shot at the Usos family tree and says that the New Day are first generation wrestlers. The Usos needed their relatives and their family's legacy to get tryouts, get matches, get this, get that, get opportunity. So, you know, it was very interesting that they were going that way. But keep in mind, the crowd is fucking dead. The crowd is dead. Even when Jey Uso grabbed the mic and got very passionate about all the pressure and everything they've gone through, the crowd still didn't really react to it. Xavier, you know, is basically just hearing what Jey Uso has to say. Then they take a little shot at Kofi Kingston, because everybody's got to get a turn on the microphone tonight. So Jey says that if it wasn't for them, Kofi Mania would have never existed, basically alluding that the Usos wanted to work with the New Day back then. And if that never happened, then maybe Kofi Mania doesn't take off. So Jey tells Kofi, why don't you stay home? Don't show up Friday. Stay home with your kids. So Kofi gets on the mic. What kind of father would I be if I go home and I don't do this and that? And, you know, the one thing that I thought was very powerful out of the entire segment was when Kofi said that the New Day, the last time they were truly whole was when Big E was out there. And it does feel like there is a big void now with Big E still on the shelf. And, you know, we hope to God a year from now, he's back in that ring, you know. But unfortunately, and I was very surprised at how many people had pissed off. Riddle's music hits. He shows up. We get comedy. And I personally think they have taken a few steps back with Riddle. I understand, you know, they want to please the crowd. He's a feel-good guy. They will, you know, the younger fans, Riddle comes off as innocent. Now he's got the bongos. Does not get rid of them. You know, he comes out and he starts doing a little bit of tongue-in-cheek humor about bongs and bongos. Get it, bongs. So he says that he and Elias are going to form a band. And he starts playing the bongo. He gets Jey Uso Jimmy Uso to play the bongos a little bit. Jimmy Uso, you know, he's doing it pretty good. Jey Uso's not happy about that. So next thing you know, we get a six-man tag match. You get Solo Sikoa and the Usos versus the New Day and Matt Riddle. Match was okay. Solo Sikoa was the star of this match. And I think it was designed to really showcase Solo Sikoa here. And believe it or not, common sense would probably tell you, okay, the Usos are going to win on Friday. So the New Day here, you know, they should win this one. The problem is they don't want Solo Sikoa to be pinned. They don't want any Uso to be pinned either. So tonight we get the Usos and Solo Sikoa get the win. But, I originally was going to get a clip from our Crown Jewel review from Saturday, but I decided I'll spare you the pain of playing a clip again. What was the one thing that I complained about as far as Crown Jewel, besides the mace that had no effect, you know, that with Scarlett, you know, the other thing that pissed me off. Remember Saturday when I pointed out that one thing that Triple H keeps doing over and over and over again is this dumb shit where somebody makes the blind tag and a wrestler hits a finisher in the ring, and meanwhile, the other wrestler does not realize that there was a blind tag. We talked about it with Toxic Attraction. We talked about it when Natty didn't realize there was a blind tag. And we got it with the Brawling Brutes versus the Usos. We just talked about this Saturday. The Brawling Brutes in Crown Jewel, Saudi Arabia, with the Usos, they did the same fucking finish. And what did I say Saturday? Triple H, I don't think people understand how many times Triple H since August or whatever it was. I don't think people understand. It must be at least 10 times already that he's done the blind tag thing. And guess fucking what? Not even 48 hours after the Usos beat the Brawling Brutes, they do the same goddamn thing again tonight. Jimmy Uso does the blind tag to Solo Sikoa. Matt Riddle RKOs Jimmy Uso, does not realize that Solo Sikoa is the legal man in the ring. Solo Sikoa hits the spinning solo on Matt Riddle and gets the win. We just complained about that 2 days ago. You know, I'm supportive of everything that Triple H is doing right now. I love the new energy. I love, you know, the unknown for tomorrow. They have done a lot of great things since Vince has stepped down, no question. But I think we're starting to see that, you know, there are quite a bit of flaws with Triple H's stuff. And one of that pet peeves that is coming out full-blown is this blind tag shit. It happens more than you realize. And it blew me away when I saw that tonight. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And you're using the same tag team that you did 48 hours ago. So, all right, we get a couple of recaps of Crown Jewel throughout tonight's Raw. JBL comes out there. I thought this was funny. He's talking about how from Budokan Hall to Madison Square Garden, he sold out and main evented some of the most famous arenas in history. And he says, when we talk about famous arenas, this ain't one of them. And he's just ripping on the fans, calling them fat snowflakes and, you know, the chubby fingers. So he introduces Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin ends up taking on Cedric Alexander. Believe it or not, here's a little sausage. Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin may end up reforming a tag team with R-Truth, possibly being on the shelf for an extended period of time. Now, we have no word about R-Truth's injury yet. So we're just hoping that maybe he just twisted his knee and hopefully nothing tore. But if you saw him when he pushed off in that match with Grayson Waller, the minute he pushed off, you saw something was wrong. He had no lift. So we'll find out. But if R-Truth's going to be on the show, because a lot of people don't realize R-Truth and I think Cedric Alexander have been teaming up quite a bit on, I think, main events and dark matches as well. So Cedric comes out there, no shot against Baron Corbin. JBL in commentary doing a spectacular job. As we said earlier, at this point, Seth Rollins was supposed to have his United States Open challenge. We think it's going to be Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins, but here comes the OC that they're basically going to ruin the party. Mia Yim shows up, takes out Rhea Ripley. Not takes her out, but, you know, takes her out enough that they have the upper hand. And no match happens. Now, Kathy Kelly catches up with Seth Rollins in the back because while this is all going on with Judgment Day and the OC, Seth Rollins gets out of Dodge. Now, Seth, for the fans, he says, we're going to get a United States Championship match tonight. So that's going to be our main event. And I'm curious, guys, gals, was the 24/7 title the only women's match on the show tonight? I think so. I think so. So Otis beats Elias. Kevin Patrick obviously is still new with play-by-play, but I thought he botched a few times calling Otis Chad Gable. I think Corey Graves tried to bail him out at the very end. Match was kind of eh. You know, didn't feel it at all. You know, it was an okay match. JD, Judgment Day, I almost said JD from New York, Judgment Day, talking about mommy. You know, they're a little bit upset, especially Dominic Mysterio. And Rhea Ripley's like, don't worry, everyone. I got this. I got this. Don't worry. So we get a brief stare down in the back with Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. So we see some fan footage in the parking lot with Asuka, Bianca Belair, or as Wade Barrett says, Bianca Belair and Asuka, as well as Damage Control. Bianca, Alexa, and Asuka hit the ring. Now, I don't know if anybody saw it, but for a very, very split second, they flashed to the inverted moth. That logo for Bray Wyatt. Listen, is he trying to, you know, recruit Alexa Bliss? Now, that might be the evil Uncle Howdy trying to cause a little temptation there. I think that's also to troll the fans on social media. So we have Bayley, Bianca, and Asuka in the ring. Excuse me, Bianca, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka in the ring. And we see that fan footage from the parking lot earlier, a little disagreement with the Damage Control in them. And Bianca calls out Damage Control because she has something that she wants to tell them to their face. So Damage Control comes out. And for a brief moment, this probably was the highlight for everybody. You know, Alexa Bliss, you know, she cuts a promo. All right, whatever. Not much passion there. You know, didn't feel enough. It just, you know what it felt like, to be honest with you? And I'm not ripping on Alexa Bliss, but I even think Alexa Bliss would probably admit this to herself. You know, there was no anger about Nikki Cross costing her in the championships. She was talking almost like proving a point like, you know, you wouldn't be champions right now if it wasn't for Nikki Cross getting involved in the match. Like, yeah, she's right. She makes good points, but there was no anger. Like, why wouldn't you want to get at Nikki Cross? That's how it came across in the ring. But when Asuka got in the ring and she started jawjacking with Io Sky, I can only play you like 4 or 5 seconds of it, but this was a sample of what we got tonight. Baka, 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 baka. Sound like a chicken. Baka, 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 baka. Baka, 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 baka. So Io Sky, I thought she was going to laugh. You could see that she was kind of like about to chuckle, but she just calls Asuka a bitch. Bitch! Not bitch. Beach. Almost like beach. That hurts. They start brawling. Nikki Cross shows up. She's with Damage Control. And Bianca issues the challenge for War Games. Now, as I said yesterday, I don't know why this was reported in news this weekend, but we've talked about it for a month, and I know other people have as well. It was always supposed to be 5-on-5. I don't know who came up with this that, oh, originally it was supposed to be 4-on-5. I think people are just trying to invent shit to make it seem exclusive. It was always supposed to be 5-on-5. Now, if you think about Bailey's team, that's only 4 of 5 women. You got Bailey, Io Sky, Dakota Kai, Nikki Cross. There's only 4. Remember I said earlier about Rhea Ripley, Mia Yim. Bailey, I think on social media the last day or two, she made a remark that she would love to have Rhea Ripley on their team for War Games. Or if they did a War Games. You know, it was not advertised that Damage Control was going to be in War Games. Obviously, the story today is Bianca issued the challenge. But if they were going to go to war, Bailey would love to have Rhea Ripley or even in Damage Control. Maybe it was more about Damage Control, but now you have one person left. Some people think it could be Charlotte Flair. Some people think it could be Candice LeRae. Some people think it could be Sasha Banks. As we've said repeatedly at least 1,000 times in the last bunch of months, if Sasha returns, it's got to be with Naomi. It's got to. You know, they've been the package of two everywhere they go. So you're not going to bring Sasha back in the mix as a solo without Naomi there. So right now we have 4 on their team, so they need to add a 5th person. So that's why I said earlier, keep Rhea Ripley and Mia Yim on your mind, because it could very well end up being Rhea Ripley. Not saying that it will, but it's definitely one to think about, especially that with less than 3 weeks away, we have Mia Yim and Rhea Ripley going at it. You know, now the storyline has begun with those two. So, you know, I could see, you know, Bianca Belair's team going up to Mia Yim and say, you know, this is the fire we need. You know, so I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's not out of the question. It's definitely not out of the question. So, Austin Theory has a match earlier. He beats Shelton Benjamin. Earlier today, there's apparently an interview segment where Shelton Benjamin is trying to give some advice to Austin Theory. Look, if you approach Brock Lesnar, you're going to get a 5. If you approach Bobby Lashley, you're going to get the Hurt Lock. So Austin Theory don't need Shelton Benjamin's advice. In fact, he calls him Mr. Irrelevant, Shelton Benjamin. When was the last time you were on Raw and you won a match? And Shelton says, how's about tonight against you? So they set up the match. Not much of a match there. Austin Theory defeats Shelton Benjamin. Now we get, this is a mixed bag for a lot of people out there. The Miz, Johnny Gargano. You know, a segment that won't come to a conclusion. Remember the scenic route? You know, this was supposed to be revealed like 3-4 weeks ago. And they're still trying to add twists and turns to this. So now, because Johnny Gargano did not make everyone believe, or he didn't have clear and concise evidence, now supposedly he hired a private investigator to convince The Miz that he really did pay Dexter Lumis. And if you look at this, you know, The Miz is apparently having drinks, and he reveals that he has been paying Dexter Lumis. Miz is exposed. This leads to a match where The Miz defeats Johnny Gargano. Match was great. Corey Graves' commentary was hilarious, talking about how Johnny Gargano wrestles in underoos, which I think is funny. But how the match ends, and this match went a lot longer than I think people realize. The Miz acts like he's being dragged under the ring. He goes down and his feet are partially under the ring, and, you know, it looks like Dexter Lumis is pulling him under the ring. But in actuality, Miz was acting. Miz basically pulled himself backwards, you know, just crawled backwards. And when he came out right afterwards, he's holding like a wrench that they use for the turnbuckles. So Miz pulls out of the ring and he's at the ref and he's like, he's under there. He just tried to pull me under. Now, we're watching on TV and it looked like somebody pulled Miz under, but Miz was acting. So Miz has this weapon in his hand and the referee goes to look under the ring to see if Dexter Lumis is there. The Miz whacks Johnny Gargano with the with the tool, and he pins Johnny Gargano. After the match is over, the Miz is up the rampway, not looking behind him. He's facing Gargano and bragging how he beat Gargano in the ring, and here comes Dexter Lumis with a chair shot to the back. Dexter opens the chair, sits down next to Miz, and here comes security. Man, Dexter Lumis could run fast. If anybody saw that segment tonight, how fucking fast did Dexter Lumis run through that crowd? Like, that was impressive, man. That guy could fly. I mean, he's run before. Tonight was on a different level. Go watch it and you'll be like, how's this guy run that fast? It was impressive. So he gets out of Dodge. Dana Brooke loses the 24/7 championship to Nikki Cross, as I said earlier. Nikki is in the back, very stoic, goes to throw the title in the garbage. I don't need this. She misses the pail. OC are in the back with Mia Yim. We finally have a re-illusion, and that is, you know, the solution for Rhea Ripley, and Mia Yim is very happy to be there, and, you know, she looks good with the OC. No complaints here. Definitely no complaints. Main event tonight, Seth Rollins comes out. He reminds the fans, which, you know, WWE did not do much of a tribute at all other than online, but we talked about it in previous episode. Seth Rollins, this month is 10 years that he's in WWE, and he's getting the fans to serenade him. He promised an open challenge tonight. He wanted to know who it was going to be. So Mustafa Ali is on the screen, and we think we're going to get him versus Seth Rollins. And honestly, nothing against Mustafa Ali, but if they would have faced in a match tonight, I mean, you look at that card up and down, very disappointing crowd. And card. So we think Mustafa Ali is going to get that match, but here comes Bobby Lashley. First, Ali is laid out. We don't know who's beating him up. It's revealed to be Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley is on the camera telling Seth Rollins what he's going to do. He's going to take that championship. Ali tries to get a little bit of offense in the back with Bobby Lashley, attacks him. Bobby Lashley just tosses him over some barricades. Now, I think a lot of us thought that the match would go to a no contest due to interference from Mustafa Ali, but we got a whole different route with what went down tonight. Bobby Lashley is beating the balls off of Seth Rollins. Match didn't start. Seth Rollins is pretty much incapacitated. Bobby Lashley, I don't understand what the logic was of Bobby Lashley not be, you know, like throwing him back in the ring, try to start the time. Because remember, Bobby was injured from Brock Lesnar, and Seth Rollins was baiting Bobby Lashley to start the match. And Bobby started the match, and then Seth won the match. So Bobby Lashley pretty much gets out of there a little bit. Austin Theory's music hits. Austin comes out there with the briefcase. He's cashing in. Now, for a brief moment, I guarantee you, some of you out there thought what I thought. Austin Theory cashes in. We get a match started. Austin Theory gets a couple of near falls. And here comes back Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley, because the referee is down, took a ref bump. With the referee not realizing what's going on, Bobby Lashley starts wailing on Austin Theory. Puts him in the hurt lock, leaves him unconscious. So now with the referee down, and now with it being like 10:57 p.m., we got Rollins down, we got the referee down, and we got Austin Theory down outside the ring. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. If they go off the air with a no contest, since the match never concluded, does that mean Austin Theory still has the briefcase? I guarantee you there was a lot of you out there that were thinking that, like, they better not go off the air with no decision. Because I can't help but to keep thinking about that match with Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. Wasn't it Reigns and Strowman in that cell? The red ugly cell, and they went off the air, and it was a no contest because Brock Lesnar, you know, showed up and basically destroyed everyone. But that didn't happen. The referee starts counting out Austin Theory. So I'm like, okay, referee got his, you know, enough, you know, consciousness. He's counting out Austin Theory. Maybe Austin Theory gets counted out, match is over. Austin Theory gets back in at the count of nine. Okay. Seth Rollins hits him with the curb stomp. And Seth Rollins ends up defeating Austin Theory. Does this lead to a feud with Austin Theory and Bobby Lashley? It is possible. Could it lead to a three-way? That is possible. Mustafa Ali obviously has got to get a little bit of revenge on Bobby Lashley for what went down. Mustafa Ali still is going to have a match with Seth Rollins in the very near future. So who knows? Could end up being a fatal four-way. Think about that for a minute. You know, a lot of people think, common sense, Bobby Lashley should be on one of the teams facing, well, the team facing the Bloodline at Survivor Series War Games. Why wouldn't you put Bobby Lashley on that team? Bobby Lashley's one of the biggest physical specimens, one of the top talents. Who's going to be the captain of the team to face the Bloodline? We still don't even know that. So how do you get Bobby Lashley off of the idea of being on that team? Well, you have Bobby Lashley going up to Seth Rollins for the United States Championship. So if Bobby Lashley, Austin Theory, Mustafa Ali, and Seth Rollins are all battling for this United States title at Survivor Series, well, guess what? Seth Rollins also is not on that team facing the Bloodline. Because look, some of you asked me yesterday, I said, I'll give you the answer today. Who, if it was up to me, I would love to see Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins, maybe Drew McIntyre or Braun Strowman, and maybe Matt Riddle. And Seth, I don't know if I mentioned Seth Rollins. I think I did. I think that would be my team to face the Bloodline. Kevin Owens I would even throw in there as well. But that's obviously not the way they're going. So Bobby Lashley could very well end up being tied up with Seth Rollins over that United States Championship. So that's how we go off the air. So it was honestly 2 weeks in a row that I could say that overall I thought the shows were disappointing. You could see, you know, Triple H is not a perfect person. But again, that blind tag stuff is probably the most annoying thing that I see on WWE television right now. It is more than you realize. So, all right, we got to talk about this World Cup tournament that WWE is going to start doing on SmackDown. We got to talk about some NXT and AEW previews. We also got to talk about Sasha Banks. She's posted a couple of video teasers. I got that video for you. I got two videos of Sasha Banks. And it's going to be really interesting to see what ends up transpiring. Oh, and we got the Vince McMahon picture. But before we do that, everyone, we got to, you know, pay the bills. Guys, gals, it's holiday season. You know, I am going to be giving thanks for Manscaped. Everyone loves their turkey and stuffing, but your balls will look like dessert with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. I coined this phrase, everyone. I swear to God, it's the total package for your package. Get total package, Lex Luger. Gift yourself or give a gift to another man in your life. Could be your dad, your neighbor, a brother, significant other. Give it to yourself. Give it to the man in your life. The ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Trim your pumpkins by going to manscaped.com. Enter the promo code DONTONY. Get free shipping and 20% off your order. And what you get in the Performance Package 4.0, you get the lawnmower trimmer. That is a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. I don't know if any of you out there have ever attempted to groom down there and you use a razor that you think, hey, I could shave my beard. Oh, you know, I could kind of shave down there as well. A bad cartoon waiting to happen. It has its advanced skin-safe technology, gives you the ability to turn a 4000K LED spotlight on and off whenever you need it because you want to see where you're trimming. I do not like looking down there while I am trimming it. It's not like the most fun thing to do. You also get the weed whacker. That is for your nose and your ear. Because some of you out there, with all due respect, I see some of your social media pages and your nose and your ears look like Vanessa Del Rio's vagina from the 1970s. That weed whacker has a 9,000 RPM 360-degree rotary dual blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology. You can't forget the crop preserver, which is ball deodorant. Yes, our testicles get smelly. Guys, I'm literally plugging this for real. You get the toner spray. You get a travel case. You also get some crop reviver. It's a little toner spray. Don't forget, they also have body wash. They got a new scrubber now. They have deodorant. There is so much over at Manscaped. Enter the promo code DONTONY, 20% off your order, free shipping. I'm a customer. I have quite a few of their products, and I swear to you, this is the God honest truth. When I was approached about advertising with them, I told them I want to try their stuff first. And they said, how much time you need? I said, well, get me the stuff as soon as you can. And they sent me a whole bunch of stuff. I opened it. I was like, oh, this shit is actually pretty damn good. Now, luckily for me, I have had some decent hygiene, so I really didn't need some of the things, but you want to maintain it, you know, and you have a nice lawn in front of your house, you know, you don't wait for it to become 6 foot high of weeds. You kind of like keep everything nice and neat, so, but they got some good stuff. I would not be plugging them if I didn't use their stuff, so manscaped.com. All right, Vince McMahon was seen last week having dinner with a significant other. Now, remember, we saw that blonde chick that time when he went for his birthday in New York City. Oh, unless she dyed her hair, and no, this is not the same woman. Vince McMahon was with someone else. Now, look, you are allowed to dine with the opposite sex. That doesn't mean that Vince, you know, that this was a partner of his. Could have been a lawyer. It could have been just a friend, could have been a physician. Maybe Vince McMahon needs to undergo treatment for something. Maybe this is a psychologist. We don't know. But when I saw this picture, guys and gals, I actually started laughing. My friends, this is Vince McMahon recently with an unknown female. Looks like, I would say, burnt color hair, bronze hair. Really can't see her all that well, but, you know, looks like an attractive woman. When I saw Vince McMahon's face, one person came to mind for me. Anybody out there ever watched the show Pawn Stars? Pawn, as in P-A-W-N. I'm sorry, man. If you look at Vince McMahon, this is just me. Do a Twitter search. No one else out there has ever made this comparison before. To me, he looks like the old man from Pawn Stars. God rest his soul. What is his name? Richard Benjamin is his name? Tell me Vince is not turning into the old man from Pawn Stars. I mean, he's starting to me. Seriously, if he gets a little bit of gray hair, a little bit of salt and pepper hair, come on, man. People popped. God, you all popped last week when I said that Tony Khan's, you know, his doppelganger is Jeff Goldblum, not Rick Moranis. Because Tony Khan always keeps facial hair now. Tony Khan Jeff Goldblum from The Fly looks exactly like Tony Khan. Well, now I'm giving you another one. Vince McMahon is slowly turning into the old man from Pawn Stars. Now all we need is Vince McMahon to wear one of those pimp hats. One of those pimp hats. Vince McMahon. Out and about. He looks good, man. He looks good. 77 years old. You know, I mean, I didn't think he's going to look at 77 years old. So, all right. We talked about this last Tuesday on Patreon. I mentioned it briefly on Wednesday Night Dynamite last week that, you know, we had all found out that Becky Lynch was going to play Cyndi Lauper in Young Rock. No one else reported at that time, and I actually got it from someone who works behind the scenes on the production set. Remember, you know, I have a niece that actually works for TV studios now. And the buzz that everybody had told them was that not only does Becky look great as Cyndi Lauper, the one thing everybody was talking about was her New Yorker accent. And Becky Lynch aced the New York accent, the New Yorker. And last Tuesday and Wednesday, I said, when you see her in Young Rock, get ready for the New York accent. I thought Becky Lynch killed it. She had a great time, man. I thought she did a tremendous job playing Cyndi Lauper on Young Rock. So I had to mention it because I thought that was pretty damn good. It was pretty damn good. All right. Let's talk about Sasha Banks for a few moments. Sasha Banks, she's in very good shape, obviously. And, you know, I don't know if she's like really like an aerobics person. You know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that what you do with aerobics? I don't. Why does it look like a bad Travolta dance? So Sasha Banks wrestling in the ring can be simply exercise. But Sasha Banks is now posting some very cryptic videos. And on top of it, Sasha Banks was seen training with Juventud Guerrera. Now, I get a kick out of people like, oh, Juve, he looks great. I'm like, yeah, I guess you didn't see the match that he had with Jericho. Of course Juve looks great. 47 years old. God bless him. He's turned his life around, cleaned up his act. I am cool with Juve. So Sasha working out with Juve. And I'm going to share with you two videos that Sasha Banks posted on Instagram. They're only about a minute long, but she is teasing that something really fucking big is going down very, very shortly. And it looks like in the month of November. Now, think about Survivor Series. Think about Boston. It almost seems like it makes too much sense that if Sasha is going to return to pro wrestling in WWE, Survivor Series in Boston. Right now, though, on the heel side, you only need one person. Unless maybe Nikki Cross is taken out and they need two people. Problem is, for everyone out there that thinks that Bayley's team would have Sasha back on it, it makes no sense for Naomi to return and return as a heel and be part of Damage Control's team. So if I see them return, it could only be on the babyface side. And as of right now, they only have three women, Bianca, Alexa Bliss, Asuka. So that leaves two women. Something else you got to think about, and this is very important. I want people to remember this. There is another brand called SmackDown. The Bloodline, of course, are going to be on War Games. Don't you think that we need at least one or two women from SmackDown to be part of this? Now, you could get away with Ronda Rousey, because if Ronda Rousey faces Liv Morgan in a rematch, or if Charlotte Flair returns, you know, then you can have Liv Morgan, Charlotte Flair, and Ronda Rousey in a three-way at Survivor Series, and that makes sense. They're not. But what about Raquel Rodriguez? Did everybody forget about Shotzi Blackheart? Everybody thought Shotzi Blackheart is going to be part of this. You know, the whole thing with the tank, War Games, everything like that. Now, I have nothing against Shotzi. We are a fan of hers on this show. We always praise her and we always root for her. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, like hardcore stuff, you know, remember earlier this year, everybody has a bad night. But that might have given a little bit of second thoughts as far as WWE goes, as far as putting Shotzi in War Games. But I think we have to wait. I think we have to wait. Maybe if, you know, they decide to do a, I don't know, you know, maybe, because you remember too, you know, I think the thing that a lot of people are forgetting is, you know, you got War Games, and obviously it's going to be inside cages. You know, if anybody remembers Survivor Series of yesteryear, you didn't just have two Survivor Series matches. You would have four, five. So just because you have War Games doesn't mean you can't have the traditional five-on-five, pin, count out, this. Because, you see, this is the thing, I think. I was talking about this yesterday a little bit. One of the things I don't like about Survivor Series, and I never liked about Survivor Series, even going back to the 80s and 90s, especially the 90s. The 90s probably was bad. The 2000s, I think, was the worst. What would happen in a Survivor Series match? I just talked about this last night. You have 10 people in the ring. Now, obviously, they're not all fighting at the same time. War games, everybody's fighting at the same time. Once everybody's in the cage and everybody after the intervals, then everybody fights and everybody's in there. When you have traditional 5-on-5, you know, let's say you have 2-3 people left, you know, survivors. That means you're going to need 6 or 7 outcomes of matches to get to that. If you have a traditional 5-on-5, especially, remember, War Games goes an hour. War Games goes an hour. So these traditional 5-on-5s could only go about 10, 12 minutes tops. So what happens? You get 5 minutes on the opener of the match, and you get some competition. Somebody gets pinned. And right after that person gets pinned, someone shows up in the ring and does a fruit roll-up, and that person gets pinned. Then you have 2 people that brawl outside the ring, and it's a double count-out or double disqualification. And within a 3-minute span, you get at least 3 or 4, you know, decisions in the match. That's the one thing I always hated about Survivor Series matches, because there's so many people that have to get pinned at the end of the night. They have to do things like in 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 15 seconds. So if we do get traditional 5-on-5s, you know, you will get 5, 6, 7 pins or disqualified 7 decisions. Well, War Games is only one. There's only one. But think about the longevity, how long those matches are going to be. So, all right, so now let's show you what Sasha Banks posted. So,
as time passes.
Oh, well, that would be good if we don't play both of them at the same time. Hold on. Let me. How do I do this without. Okay, let's pause this one.
As time.
Okay, I'm going to show you the one on the left first, and then I'll show you the one on the right. So these are 2 videos that Sasha Banks posted. Here is the first video. They were on autoplay at the same time, so here's the first video. Listen closely to what she says.
Time passes. There's been so much growth, and there's been so much beautiful.
I apologize for interrupting this. There is one thing I have to say about this. Is it just me, or is Sasha Banks, does it sound like she had like a total transformation of her accent as well? Now, I've heard Sasha Banks talk outside of wrestling, but just listen to what she says and you'll understand why I say this. I won't interrupt again. Here's video number 1.
As time passes, there's been so much growth, and there's been so much beautiful opportunity and a journey that I've been loving. But as the time also goes on, the date is coming that I've been waiting for the past 6 months, and I can't wait. But I'm really going to make most of this November to make all my dreams happen in preparation for this date that I've been waiting for. I'm very excited, and I hope you guys come along for this journey, which I know a lot of you have been with me for so long, so thank you. But I just want to let you know there's going to be something so fucking crazy coming.
Okay. So I know what some of you are saying right now. Wait a minute, DT, her accent sounds just fine. What are you talking about? Okay. I want you to check out this video now. Go check this one out.
Be gentle. Be forgiving when it comes to the matters of the heart. I know that this life can seem crazy because it seems like the more you put it together, the more it kind of fall apart. But don't panic. Because without losing who you thought you were, who you are meant to be could never be found. So just focus on understanding yourself, healing yourself, and loving yourself. Because your relationship with you is one of the only ones that you will forever be bound.
Yeah, I'm kind of with all of you out there. That doesn't sound like a voice. That doesn't sound like a voice. It's not like any, is it anybody famous? I have no idea. But I heard that, and I'm like, why would you voice over something like that? Like, why would you dub over that? I don't, that's kind of strange. Like, you know, it, if it's not her voice, which it doesn't sound like, why wouldn't you just say those things? I don't know. Philip Promoter says it sounds like Alicia Keys. I honestly, I'm not going to lie to you, I never paid attention to Alicia Keys talking outside. I mean, beautiful singer. But I just look, the bottom line is, regardless of how the voice sounds, especially the second video, it's a lot that has to do with wrestling. And you know what it felt like to me? You know what it felt like to me? Again, I didn't do research with this. I'm just showing you the two videos she posted. You watch it. You know what the second video felt like to me? It felt like a video that maybe someone else made and sent it to her. And that person put all these highlights in there, and she said, you know what? That's an awesome video, and she shared it with everyone. That's the impression I got from the second video. But keep in mind, you know, there's a lot of wrestling involved in there as well. Psycho, I know you've said 9 times already, who cares, DT? There are a lot of Sasha Banks fans out there, especially if she does return to pro wrestling. Now, I will tell everyone this. This is a little bit of sausage. It's a little sausage. It's not news, but it's something I want you to think about. Sasha Banks is returning to wrestling. That's already been discussed. We don't need to get into that again. That argument has been settled a long time ago. But what if Sasha Banks returns to wrestling and it's for another promotion? No, not AEW. Do not discount the possibility that Sasha Banks makes an appearance in Japan or makes an appearance in a different country and wrestles a match for a gigantic payday. Now, obviously, if that were to happen, it would be under WWE's blessing because there's still a lot of legalities and contracts going on. But, you know, one thing is for certain. She's returning to wrestling. And, you know, the only question is with WWE, when? Does it happen in Survivor Series? Does it happen right after the new year? Now, I was going to share it today, but we normally stay around 90 minutes now on these shows. And I know it may only take 5-7 minutes to read, but we'll save it for next week. WWE just put out their schedule for all of their shows from the beginning of January to WrestleMania. Now, day one is officially done. Day one is not happening. WWE is doing an event January 2. So next week, I'm going to share with you all of the events that WWE has scheduled from January 2 up until WrestleMania. It's a pretty good schedule. There's some very interesting, you know, events on there. But you live in certain areas, you know, you might want to go to some of these events. So, no, it's not a WWE day 2. There's not, believe it or not, you know, the Royal Rumble is going to be their event in January. That's going to be their event. But next week I'll get into that schedule. But, you know, keep in mind, as far as the Bianca Belair team, there's 2 opening slots. Could they be filled by Sasha Banks and Naomi? Think about the history of Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, and they align with each other. Think about the history of Sasha Banks feuding with Bayley. A lot of people think that Sasha Banks, when she returns, she aligns herself with Bayley. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that is the easiest way to segue Bayley into a feud. Plus, I mean, I think everybody and their mother thinks that Naomi and Sasha Banks, if they return, if Sky and Kai are the tag champs at that time, they're going for those tag titles. And Sky and Kai versus Sasha Banks and Naomi, that's going to be a killer match. So keep in the back of your mind that there's still 2 slots left for War Games. Now, I will also say this. What are the chances of Sasha Banks and Naomi returning, and not just returning at Survivor Series, but being part of a very physical match like War Games? You know, that's going to be some crazy-ass spots in that match. So you look at that roster up and down currently, unless you put like Ronda Rousey in there, which is not happening, unless you put Rhea Ripley on the other side, which could happen, but then the Mia Yim question is an issue. If you put Rhea Ripley on one side and Mia Yim is not on the other side, then you got to think, what happens? Maybe Alexa Bliss is taken out. Maybe Alexa Bliss isn't part of that team. So we should know by next week where this seems to be going. But a lot of buzz, Boston. Think about the Boston aspect of it. A lot of people think Boston, Sasha Banks, it almost feels like it's written for you. So we'll see what happens. All right. What did I want to show you? Okay, couple of previews. Tomorrow in NXT, they only have three items announced. First of all, the Women's Tag Team Championship rematch. Kayden and Carter and Katana Chance will defend the titles against Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark. Lyons and Stark are not going to win, and we may see a split between the two because Zoe Stark teasing that she's turning heel. So you'll probably see some miscommunication go down, and maybe Zoe Stark ends up turning heel. That is something to keep in the back of your mind. JD McDonagh is going to be taking on Axiom. A few people have posted online the match that JD McDonagh had with A-Kid in NXT UK. And if given enough time tomorrow, those two guys are going to put on a spectacular match if you've never seen that one. Then we're going to get a talking segment. Von Wagner and Bron Breakker with Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller's talking segment. Yeah, we also got to talk about that World Cup tournament. We'll close out with that tonight. We'll talk about the World Cup. On the AEW side of things for Wednesday, we're going to have Bryan Danielson versus Sammy Guevara, best two out of three falls. We have the Acclaimed and FTR teaming up to take on Swerve and Our Glory and the Guns, Austin and Colton Gunn. We got Sky Blue versus Jamie Hayter. Britt Baker and Saraya are going to have a face-to-face with Tony Schiavone, and the match should be finalized Wednesday for Full Gear between those two women. We will hear from Jon Moxley, and then we have the opening match for their World Title Eliminator Tournament that will culminate a Full Gear. Eddie Kingston in round one takes on Ethan Page. So that's what we have for Wednesday. Now, SmackDown's rating was 2,000,138 from Friday. AEW Rampage, that was pretty fascinating because if you remember last Wednesday, when Shibata came out, you go on social media, like every single AEW fan, epic, amazing, unbelievable, I'm shaking, I'm crying, I can't believe it, he's here, it's unbelievable, he's going to wrestle his first match on Friday, oh my God, he's going to take on Orange Cassidy, holy shit, can you imagine if he won the title? And JD and myself, and if you haven't checked it out yet, last Thursday's podcast, Forbidden Door 3, the response has been amazing. 3 hours and 10 minutes of pure gold. And if you haven't tuned in yet, you're really missing in my top 10 favorite shows that I've ever done for 26 years. It was just spectacular from top to bottom. And, you know, not only did we have some great debate and discussion, but almost everything that we talked about, you know, is really spot on. And we talked about Rampage's rating for Friday. The one thing that we pointed out was there was no World Series game. They hyped up Shibata for 2 days. Now you think if AEW fans, if they're going to come out of the woodwork and enjoy Rampage, Friday's the day to do it. So Rampage's rating on Friday with Shibata, with it being live, with I Am Mike Tyson, with War Joe and everything else that they showed, they only did 455,000 viewers. What do you think the ratings prediction was on the episode that we did on Thursday? The actual rating was 455. What do we think the rating was?
I don't think they can get to 1.5 million until this Ring of Honor stuff is off TV. Because Ring of Honor was never a tremendously viewed product. It had a niche following. Plus, you can't even have the Briscoes on TV. So this Ring of Honor.
They have Mike Tyson on Rampage, but they can't have the Briscoes on TV.
Let me tell you something. You know, you said you were talking about earlier with AEW, like trying to get to Raw levels. You know, there was the World Series yesterday. I think they did 911,000 viewers.
Yep.
NXT on Tuesday did, what did they do? I think they did 671, somewhere around six.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, that's only 240,000. Dynamite was only 240,000 viewers more than NXT. And they both had World Series games. So Friday is Rampage. There's no World Series game Friday. What it happens when Rampage's rating comes back and you got Iron Mike and you got Shibata and you have some other big names on Friday and it still does 500,000 viewers.
Not even that. 450, you know, and it's live.
Yeah, and it's live on top of it.
Yeah, it's Ring of Honor Rampage, DT. It's not AEW Rampage. I mean, they don't book Rampage. That's another one of their problems. They don't book Rampage like they should. It should realistically be it's B show. It should be Dynamite is their Monday Night Raw flagship, and then Rampage should be their SmackDown. It's never going to be where it needs to be until they move, you know, that show off of Friday night away from that dreadful time slot and move it to a deep.
Okay. So he's pretty close, off by 5,000 viewers. So, you know, if you haven't checked it out again, when I go like this, go check it out. By the way, you know, I got to show you something else, something I wanted to show you tonight. Raw, 30th anniversary of Raw. That's coming in January. That's going to be some special memories because I do remember January 1993 watching Raw for the first time. I remember Damian Demento. I remember The Undertaker. I think that was the main event for the first one. WWE is bringing back a lot of the retro for that 30th anniversary show. They released the logo today. And I honestly got to be straight up with you. I didn't see any news site or podcasters do any of those Beavis and Butthead-like giggles, you know, when I saw the logo. Because this is the logo that is coming out, everyone. That is the logo. Now, Raw is 30. Okay, that's fine. But I looked at it in a Beavis and Butthead type of way, and, like, I have to get the sound effect with them just starting to giggle, because you could also look at that and say Raw is XXX, you know? So, actually, that's what I got to do. From now until January, whenever we plug Raw 30, I think what we got to do is when we put the logo on the screen, I'll have a sound effect in the background where Beavis and Butthead just start giggling, just out of nowhere. So that is the logo. Now, this is Sausage, everyone. I'm telling you right now it's Sausage. So be prepared, it's Sausage. But some people out there are going to report it as news. And then some people out there are cute right now. They think they're giving advice to WWE. So when it happens, they're going to be like, you see, I said that they should do this, and they listened. No, it's already planned. Guys, gals, WWE is bringing back the old Raw look, the set. It may not be exactly like it was back in the day. I don't know if they'll have the fists. I'm not talking about the SmackDown fist. I'm talking about, you remember the Raw is War and the Warzone logos? Not saying that, but they are going to go full retro that night. They are going to do a little bit of Raw graphics from 1993, but it's going to be more almost like Attitude Era type logos. And you're going to see the set is going to have a retro look to it as well. No one is reporting that yet. That is happening. It's Sausage. It's happening. So 2-3 weeks from now, when someone reports it as news, then you'll see everybody cut and paste like, oh, we just learned that it's happening. Raw is, you said sex. I got to get those Beavis and Butthead sound bites, man. But yeah, that is the logo. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. I have no problems with that. So just amazing. It's been 30 years. 30 years. Think back. I was in my early 20s when Raw first went on the air. It's pretty wild when you think about it. So, all right. Do we have anything else for tonight? Do we have anything else for? Oh, I don't have this in the synopsis, but I will tell you it anyway. How cool were those
drone image effects that WWE did at Crown Jewel. That they had drones. Excuse me for a second. Oh, wow. I'm allergic to late nights. Hold on. I sneezed. I think in 26 years, I've sneezed 5 times on shows. I never sneeze on the shows. Sorry. I muted it, so you didn't hear it. You know, they did these beautiful effects at Crown Jewel. They had drones flying over the arena, and they used drones to put these images in the sky of the opponents in the ring. And WWE is going to continue doing that. Now, understand that that image effect is not for people driving by. Hey, look, honey, look up there. No, that is supposed to be for the fans that are attending. So if you think about it, you realize right away, this is going to be utilized in the future when they do for open stadium shows. So you can do it for closed stadiums, but who's actually going to be seeing that? People that are walking or driving by that have no interest in WWE, they're like, what's that? And believe it or not, that could be a major fucking distraction. You know, not to mention, you know, you're flying over airspace. So not all states will allow that. You know, that's something you probably would never hear on any other site or show out there because they're not going to do research about drones. So you will see it used again. Not all the time, though, and it'll have to be outside stadium shows. So, all right, let's wrap up with one last thing. This is pretty cool. Also, remember that WWE has done this before. This isn't anything innovative. They have done tournaments like this before. I think the last time they did it might have been 2018 and the World Cup. Wasn't that in Saudi Arabia? Didn't Shane McMahon win it? And then he coined himself as best in the world. But that's obviously special circumstance. We're not getting Shane McMahon in this one. But FIFA World Cup is going to kick off in Qatar later this month in November. So WWE, especially SmackDown, especially Fox Sports, especially the sports element with Fox, FIFA will be plugged. So WWE is doing their own World Cup tournament. What that means is it's probably going to have people representing countries. So it's going to be an 8-man tournament. It's going to kick off, I believe, this Friday. And the tournament is going to result in the next opponent for Gunther. So we do not know the participants yet, but we were talking about it yesterday. How awesome would that be if it came down to somebody like Ludwig Kaiser taking on Gunther? You know, because remember, there was some of those moments where Gunther was a little bit physical and chopping Ludwig and disciplining him. I don't know how, you know, Ludwig Kaiser. I mean, I could picture something where Adam Pearce shows up on the screen like, if you don't fight in this tournament, Gunther will lose his championship. I'm not saying it's going to be Gunther versus Ludwig Kaiser. I think it would be a fucking awesome match, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon. But I like this tournament thing. WWE doesn't do as many tournaments. I mean, we had them for the women's tag titles. That kind of really fell flat. You know, we had a couple of teams get injured along the way as well. So this feels simple. You know, SmackDown, World Cup, next opponent for Gunther. Hopefully, whoever that is, it happens at Survivor Series. Hopefully, it happens at Survivor Series. Gunther, I would love to see in a Survivor Series match. Man, could you picture Gunther in a Survivor Series match? Shit, I could see him being the sole survivor. You know, just beating everybody to pieces. Sheamus, we were talking about it yesterday. You know, how many of you out there would like to see maybe Sheamus go at it with Roman Reigns a little bit? So there's some opportunities out there. So we have that to look forward to. I like the idea. I like that it's for Gunther, and that's why they're doing it on SmackDown. So it gives a nice little, you know, interest in the show. So, all right. With that said, everyone, I want to jet out of here for tonight. I hope everybody enjoyed this episode.
I do have, what's this here? Oh, I want to shout out two people, if you don't mind. I want to shout out Big Sal again. You can thank Big Sal for tonight's open with the toilet paper. You know, that's my favorite NXT memory. And John Falsetta, thank you for the two spot, my friend. Do I think WWE ever signs Tessa Blanchard? Never say never. It is a shame of what happened with her and La Rosa Negra. I think Tessa Blanchard's track record before that incident, after that incident, has been pretty clear. There's no, you know, no one else coming out of the woodwork making some crazy accusations. So, you know, never say never. And listen, even if what happened with La Rosa Negra was true, you know, time only heals wounds. You know, time will tell. And you need time to prove that someone truly has changed their ways. I look at Nash Carter. Nash Carter's going to be back. They will reform MSK. It's happening. We don't know when. But, you know, what Nash Carter did, he did very stupid thing with the pitcher. He shaved his mustache. Hey, look, who do I look like? Asinine. He did not know how deep that negative history with Hitler goes. I guarantee you, any of you out there, if you shaved your mustache and you were halfway done and it left a short, you're not going to go and say, hey, honey, who do I look like? Charlie Chaplin. You're not going to do that. You're gonna, or Groucho Marx. How many people are going to say Groucho Marx? No, most people are going to say Hitler. Problem with Nash Carter was when he did this. The minute he did that, you fried yourself. But remember, that was over 10 years ago. And he is not just sit on his ass and say, look, I have never... No, he actually learned the history of what happened with the Holocaust. And the more he learned, the more guilty he felt. And that's someone who's trying to better themselves and being just being a better human being. And Nash Carter, I think, has proved that. And a lot of people have also come to bat for Nash Carter, people in wrestling, people in WWE, some people in powerful places. So he'll be back. So Tessa Blanchard, never say never. Never say never. It's just a shame. It's just a shame how much time is going by that's being wasted where she could be having, you know, great matches. They don't have to be five-star matches, but great matches. By the way, on Wednesday, just a little preview for Wednesday, we're going to be talking about Nick Aldis. He is empowered to leave the NWA. He has given his notice, and in return, Billy Corgan has suspended him. Now, I will tell you that it's a little deeper than what is being perceived. Nick Aldis basically opened his mouth a little bit further, not all publicly, and expressed some of the specific reasons why he is leaving NWA. Billy Corgan got wind of it, and that's why he told Billy Corgan told Nick Aldis, yeah, you don't have to do the rest of the appearances. You're suspended. We'll clear it all up on Wednesday. You know I will tell it to you like it is. We don't clickbait here, and we don't sugarcoat, and we don't bury it to make people happy. You know, it's not as cut and dry, but I will say this. I don't remember the episode yet. I got to pull it up. But we talked about this two or three times over the last year that NWA was never going to do a second Empower show. And some of the way NWA has handled even Mickey James, that's part of the reason why he's leaving as well. Now, a lot of the rumors of WWE is kicking into gear with Nick Aldis. We'll talk about it on Wednesday. And shout out to Nero Fay, tuning in live all the way from the country of Israel. Much love, my friend. I hope everything is safe there, and I hope everybody is doing well. And I hope you all had a nice weekend. I had a fun last 7 days. Little under the weather here and there, but can't complain overall. Really enjoyed Crown Jewel, better than what I thought it was going to be. Again, Thursday show with JD was tremendous, and I will be asking him to return. We'll wait a few months. We'll get a new bunch of topics to discuss, and we'll throw it out there. But the response has been amazing. Yes, I am already starting to work on podcast Forbidden Door 4, and I have a few people in mind who I'm going to bring aboard. I will tell you that the next person, I can almost guarantee it will be somebody in the wrestling business. It might be somebody that is currently wrestling now. It might be somebody from yesteryear. It might be somebody who is very important in the history of wrestling. But it looks like it's going to be somebody who is in the wrestling business and someone that has been seen on TV. I might even put as the logo, as seen on TV. You ever buy those products and you have the logo, like you buy like something for baking or cooking and it says as seen on TV? I might have to make something like that for this person. So there's like five people in mind that I know would definitely come on. So we'll work on that. But yeah, some of the names that you all threw in the chat room just now are definitely part of that list of five. Definitely. One thing I will tell you is that even though it might be somebody who might be on my bucket list to have a conversation with, also understand that the reason why we do these is for you to enjoy them, not for me to enjoy them. You know, what's one of the arguments we always have about Tony Khan and AEW and Ring of Honor? It feels like Tony Khan puts stuff out there to please himself. And then because we're supporters and fans, we should all love it as well. I'm not doing these to please myself. I'm doing this to please everyone out there. So whoever it is, I promise you it'll be someone that you all really will enjoy. And it's not going to be someone that does 10,000 interviews because I don't want it to, it's not going to be that. It's going to be a really deep conversation and it's going to go into places that you have not heard or seen on other places, not interviews. So, all right, everyone, I'm out of here. Much love as always. If you're around Wednesday night, join me right here. We will definitely talk about NXT, AEW, and the situation with NWA and Nick Aldis. A few other things as well. If you are part of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony. Tomorrow, I believe, is off the cuff, which means that everybody that is a part of the page has an opportunity to send in some content for me to get into. It all goes live Tuesday night. 10 p.m. on Discord, our Patreon Discord, and that's it. So tomorrow is Patreon, Wednesday is YouTube Live, and I'm outie. Be well, everyone.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.